You say it. This is the Word of God. And I have what it says I have. And I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner and not a whiner. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. Said I'm a doer and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. Again, the Bible says we're all part of the body of Christ. So turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, next to you, and say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. Now turn to somebody and say, God loves you and so do I. Church, this morning I want you to turn back with me to a scripture we talked about last week, because I want to go over some things again this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. As you turn there, the Bible said, mere heart doeth good like medicine. So I got you some medicine this morning. Matthew 7, we'll begin at verse 13. Hi, Sarah. Listen, I only have a minute. I'm about to get picked up for a blind date. Can you call me in a half hour just in case it's going bad? Yeah, okay. We'll speak. Rachel gave herself a quick spray of perfume, checked herself out one more time in the mirror, and headed outside to wait for the guy. Sure enough, after 20 minutes, Rachel was discreetly checking her watch. After 10 or more long minutes, her phone finally buzzed. Rachel listened to a few seconds, grimly pursed her lips, and turned to her date. I feel terrible, but my grandmother is terribly sick. I've got to go home now. No problem, said her date with a big grin. In a few more minutes, my dog was going to get run over. These are famous presidential lies contest. First one by LBJ. None of our boys will die on foreign soil. The second one was by President Nixon. I am not a crook. G.H. Bush, read my lips. No new taxes. Clinton, I did not have sexual relationship with that woman. George W. Bush, Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. President Obama, I will have the most transparent administration in history. The stimulus will fund shovel-ready jobs. I'm focused like a laser on creating jobs. The IRS is not targeting anyone. It was a spontaneous riot about a movie. I will put an end to the type of politics that breeds division, conflict, and cynicism. I will restore trust in our government. The public will have 5 days to look at every bill that lands on my desk. Whistleblowers will be protected in my administration. We got back every dime we used to rescue the banks and auto companies with interest. I am not spying on the American citizens. Obamacare will be good for America. You can keep your family doctor. Premiums will be lowered by $2,500. I don't know about y'all, my mind went up. If you like it, you can keep your current health care plan. It's just like shopping at Amazon. I knew nothing about the fast and furious gun running to Mexican drug cartels. I knew nothing about what happened in Benghazi. I have never known my uncle from Kenya who is in the country illegally and that was arrested and told to leave the country over 20 years ago. And I have never lived with that uncle. He finally admitted in 12/5 of 2013 that he did know his uncle and that he did live with him. If elected, I promise to renew the Patriot Act. If elected, I will end the war in Iraq and Afghanistan within the first 9 months of my term. I will close Guantanamo within the first 6 months of my term. I will bridge the gap between black and white, between America and other countries. And the biggest one of all, I, Barack Hussein Obama, pledge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. All right. Laura came home after her husband's passing away. They'd been married for 32 years. She had Stephen cremated. And after memorial, she walked into the house with his urn. She opened it and she took the urn. She poured his ashes all over the carpet in front of the fireplace. She still makes me take her shoes off when I go to her house. She knelt down. She said, "Stephen, do you remember the dishwasher that needed replaced? I have it now because of your insurance money. Do you remember the new car you were going to buy me, but you never got around to get me? I got that too with your insurance money. It's in the garage. And Stephen, remember the vacuum cleaner that was broke and needed to be replaced? I got that too. And here it comes." Little humor there. Some of y'all might be able to relate to this last one. I am seeing five gentlemen, give or take, every day. As soon as I wake up, willpower helps me get out of bed. Then I go to see John. Then Charlie Horse comes along. And when he's there, he takes up a lot of my time and attention. When he leaves, arthritis shows up and usually stays for the rest of the day. He doesn't like to stay in one place very long, so he takes me from joint to joint. After such a busy day, I'm really tired, so I'm very glad to go to bed with Ben Gay. What a life. Amen. Matthew 7. I'm going to read this from the Living Translation, verse 13. Heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gates wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its easy way. Do you realize there's going to be more people in hell than there's going to be in heaven? But the gateway of life is small and the road is narrow and only a few ever find it. I want you to notice, a multitude, but only a few. That's sad, isn't it? Beware of false teachers who come disguised as harmless sheep but are wolves and will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You need never confuse grapevines with thorn bushes or figs with thistles. Different kinds of fruit trees can quickly be identified by examining their fruit. A variety that produces delicious fruit never produces an inedible kind. And a tree that producing an inedible kind can't produce what is good. So the trees having the inedible fruit are chopped down and thrown in the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that's produced. Not all who sound religious are really godly people. That's a surprise? Shocked anybody? They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't get to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. At the judgment, many will tell me, "Lord, Lord, we told others about you and used your name to cast out demons and do many great miracles." But I will reply, "You have never been mine. Go away, for your deeds are evil." This is where I want to get, verse 24. All who listen to my instructions and follow them are wise, like a man who builds his house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floods rise and the storms winds beat against the house, it won't collapse for it is built on a rock. But those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish, like a man who builds his house on the sand. For when the rains and the floods come and storms and winds beat against his house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Church, we talked about this scripture last week. And even though it stepped on her toes, like Brother Gary says, I still got some good feedback from people. But I still felt that it wasn't completely understood. I think some were thinking we need to do more for God. And that's true. But I want us to see being a doer of the word is not just what you can do for God, but it's what you allow, and I allow God through the word and through the spirit to do to us. Because what we're talking about here is building a life. He says a house, but he's talking about our lives. We're building our lives. And if we build our lives on the word, you're going to be a doer of the word as far as doing for God. But God wants to do some things inside you to prepare you to be able to do the things he wants us to do. Amen? He said it's like a wise man building his life on the word of God or on the rock. And he said the foolish built his life on sand. Sand is something that moves. And he said the storms came. What kind of storms? I think all of us in here are facing some kind of storm right now. Everybody's going through different kinds of storms. Maybe a financial storm, a physical storm, a relationship storm, maybe a physical storm. We're all going through storms. But there was two storms. They were both the same, and they came against both houses. One stands, the other falls. Why? Because one was built on the rock, one was built on the sand. Turn with Romans 12 right quick. Romans 12. Y'all stay with me because we're going to go somewhere this morning, I hope. Romans 12, verse 2. Says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see, if we're building our life on the Word, on the rock, the Word is going to change us. You cannot be connected to Jesus Christ and not be changed. Because He's the life. Amen? It's going to change our thinking. If it changes our thinking, we're not going to react the way we used to react before we got saved and we begin to build our life on the rock. Think about you, even in your own life. When something happens to you, do you react like you used to before you got saved? Or do you react the way the Word of God tells you to react? Somebody comes against you, do you go back to being fleshy and do what the flesh wants to do? Or do you do something that the Spirit of God's telling you to do? And that's what we're talking about. Because your thinking's changed. Before you begin to build your life on the rock, when somebody did something to you, you do something back to them worse than what they did to you. You think you hurt me? Let me show you what it's all about. Amen? The Word of God changes our choices. You won't keep making the same choices. If you want something different in your life, you've got to do something different. David said this in his recovery class. You keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That's insanity. Amen? But you begin to make different choices. When storms of life come up against you, you don't react the way you used to. Therefore, that storm does not destroy you because you change your thinking, you change your choices, and you change your feelings. If there's one thing that happens to us in the storms, our emotions get the best of us. I told you all a few weeks ago, Joy told me, I just love you. I can't imagine living without you. You're just the best thing God could have ever given me. And then she got mad at me one day. And all that went out the window. Why? Because of our emotions, our feelings. But the Word of God changes the way our feelings control us. The Spirit controls you, not your feelings. Amen? But he said, be not conformed. In other words, to be conformed means you allow the outward pressures to change who you are. Your circumstance, your situation, what other people say, what other people think, what other people do. You allow those things to change you. But he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation takes place on the inside. It's kind of like the little caterpillar goes into the cocoon. There's a transformation happening. And when he comes out, he's a beautiful butterfly. Well, that's what the Word of God wants to do to us, church. He wants to transform us from the inside out to where we come out and look like Jesus. Amen? Building our lives on the Word of God means the Holy Spirit will be in control and He will produce fruit. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. He will produce fruit. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 13, it says, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. Let me read this to you in the Living Translation. It says, for dear brothers, you have been given freedom, not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and serve each other. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love others as you love yourself. You know, that's the hard part for some people. Two reasons. Some people don't love themselves. So therefore, it's hard for them to love somebody else. And on the flip side of it, some of us love ourselves so much, it's like... and it's hard for us to love other people. Amen? He says... But if instead of showing love among yourselves, you're always critical and catty, watch out and beware of ruining each other. I advise you to obey only the Holy Spirit's instruction. He will tell you where to go and what to do, and then you won't always be doing the wrong things your evil nature wants you to. For we naturally love to do the evil things that are just the opposite from the things the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And the good things we want to do when the Spirit has His way with us are just the opposite of our natural desires. All of us know what we're talking about there. Amen? You really want to please God. You really want to do the right thing. But there's something inside you just won't let you do it. These two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control over us. And our wishes are never free from their pressures. When you're guided by the Holy Spirit, you need no longer force yourself to obey the Jewish laws. When the Holy Spirit has control of you, church, and that's why you've heard me say this many, many times, it's not about a bunch of rules and regulations. Religion will give you bondage. Jesus will give you freedom. Religion will tell you, you've got to look this way, act this way, walk this way, talk this way, then maybe you're okay. But God just wants us to allow His Spirit. That power we sing about a while ago, I like that song, man. That power that we were talking about a while ago to change us and transform us and change to do the things in our lives to make us more like Him. Amen. But when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results. Impure thoughts. Eagerness for lustful pleasure. Idolatry, spiritism, that is encouraging the activity of demons, hatred and fighting, jealousy and anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself, complaints and criticisms. Man. The feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group. And there will be wrong doctrine. There will be envy and murder. Well, I'll never murder anybody. You probably have with your tongue. And drunkenness and wild parties and all that sort of thing. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty plain, amen? But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, how many have the Holy Spirit controlling your life in here? He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here there is no conflict with Jewish laws. Those who belong to Christ have nailed their natural evil desire to his cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. He says if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to control us, then this is the fruit that you're going to see in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. You're still living in this flesh. That doesn't mean every day of your life you're going to be walking in the Spirit. There's going to be times you're going to get back in the flesh. There's times you're going to have to ask God to forgive you, get back up, and keep on going again. But he said, we build our lives on the sand, and when we build our lives on the sand, we produce the works of the flesh. Amen? And when you build your life on the sand, when the storms come, where do you go? You see, when I was not saved, I built my life on the sand. When things got tough, you know what I did? I'd go get high. When things got where I couldn't deal with them, I'd go get drunk. When things got really tough, I would just run. That's why I was married and divorced so many times. Amen. Now you know the Spirit of God's worked on my life. I've been with her for 31 years now. But do you hear what I'm saying? I built my life on the things that changed. And some of us, we're still doing that, church. Some of us, we got more faith in the things that changed than we do in the solid rock. You go to the doctor. Doctor says you got 6 months to live. It'll just devastate us. Why? Because we haven't built our life on the rock. The rock says by his stripes we were healed. But we will listen to what the doctor said before we'll listen to what God says. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Church, he said he gave us power to be witnesses. He gave us power to change. You've got a choice. God's not going to do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. How are you building your life? What are you building your life on? And is there fruit being manifested because of the way you're building your life? He says, he hath already, past tense, delivered us out of the power of darkness. In other words, the power of darkness, the devil has no power on us except when we give him place, like she was talking about this morning. How do you give him place? He shows up, knocks. Oh, come on in here, devil. No. You open your mouth. He said you eat the fruit of it. You got life and death and the power of the tongue. Your attitude. How you treat other people. Forgiveness. Unforgiveness. These are all areas that we open the door for the devil to do his best. And what does he do best? Kill, steal, and destroy. James 1. Y'all receiving this morning? We're going somewhere. Stay with me. I just felt like I didn't get this over last week, and I want to get it nailed home to us. James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, dear brothers, tell somebody, he's talking to you. Don't ever forget that it's best to listen much, speak little. Joy, did you write that down, underline that? I just want to be helpful as much as possible here. That's the word of God. Is sometimes it's better to sit over and be quiet. It says, listen much, speak little, and not become angry. Amen, brother. For anger doesn't make us good as God demands that we must be. What happens when you get angry? You get out of control. You say things and you do things that you wished you had never said or done. And once they've gone out of your mouth, you can't take them and push them back inside there. Amen? The thing is, my dad used to have a really, really bad temper. And he kind of passed it down to me. Before I got saved, I would get mad at things. It didn't take much to set me off. I'd punch holes in walls. I'd get in my car and I'd burn rubber and shift gears and just do everything I could. I wouldn't hurt nobody but myself. But I'd get all mad and get all upset and all bent out of shape. And then I got born again. And I did not want to be out of control. I didn't want anything controlling me. So I begin to learn how to allow God. And your flesh, the first time somebody does something to you, man, your anger rises up. But you have got to have control of it. There again, renewing your mind. Allowing the Spirit of God to control us. Oh yeah, the Spirit of God's controlling me. I'm not talking about that, church. I'm talking about everyday life. Amen? This is not question and answer time. Oh, Joy went to HEB the other day to get some groceries. And this, she put her basket up back of her car and was unloading her groceries. And there was another car fixing to try to back out here. And some guy pulled up behind her and told her, if you'd move that basket, she could get out of there. Thank God she'd been spending some time with God that morning. Otherwise, she would have got some works of the flesh, or he would have got some works of the flesh. Amen. But you made it. Amen. Amen. Let me continue on here. He says, as God demands that we got to be, church. He says, verse 21, so get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside. And humbly be glad for the wonderful message that we have received, for it is able to save our souls, your mind, your will, and your emotions, as it takes hold of our hearts. When the Word of God takes control of your heart, you're going to change the way you think, you're going to change the choices you make, and you're not going to allow your emotions to control you. Come on, give God some praise in the house this morning. Amen. See, so many Christians, we've got it up here. We know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We can quote you all kinds of scriptures, but it hasn't got a hold of us here. When it gets a hold of us here, church, you don't want to do anything contrary to the Word because you don't want to hurt a God that loves you unconditionally. When I first met Joy, I've told Joy this story before. I was so in love with God, I didn't want to do anything to hurt God. I didn't want to do anything because I knew if I ever let my standard down, it'd be easy to let it down the next time, the next time, the next time. And she was still unsaved and she was worldly and I was trying to get her saved. And when I first met her, she would come on to me and I had to leave. I had to get up and leave. I couldn't hang around. And after a while, she said, I've never had a man tell me no. She began to think I was gay. She said, there must be somebody been married and divorced that much. There's got to be something wrong with them. But what it was, the Word had got into my heart. God had got into my life. And I didn't want to do anything to hurt what I had with God. I didn't want to give no place to the devil. Now, if she had met me before I got saved, whole different story. Verse 22, and remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. Don't get me wrong, church. We all blow it every day. We make mistakes. But this is what God wants for us, because He knows if we do this, then the devil has no place in our life and we can have all that God has promised us. John Hagee has been preaching this message. Promise, problem, provision. Every promise of God is true. God's not going to back up on one promise He's given you. But every time you go to try to walk in that promise, the devil's going to cause a problem. But if we'll do what God says do, then when the storms come, the winds blow, the troubles happen, we're still going to be standing and we're not going to be destroyed. He said, and remember, it's a message to obey, not just to listen to, so don't fool yourselves. We're hurting ourselves, church. He said, for if a person just listens and doesn't obey, he's like a man looking at his face in a mirror, and as soon as he walks away, he can't see himself anymore or remember what he looks like. But if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's law for free man, he will not only remember it, but he will do what it says, and God will greatly bless him in everything he does. Come on, give God some glory on that one. He says that we'll not be just a hearer, but be a doer of the word, letting God's word change you and transform you. Some of us, we didn't even like ourselves before we got saved. But thank God we're not who we used to be. Thank God the word's working on us. Thank God the word's changing us. Now, it may not be changing some of us fast as some of us would like for us to be changed, but God is taking us at His pace, amen, as we allow Him to do this. But He didn't say, Sister Rosie's going to bless you or Brother Gary's going to bless you. No, He said, God will greatly bless you. And church, I want you to know, when I went through that heart attack, you never really know how people feel about you. Even though you try to do the right thing. But when I went through the heart attack, Stephen stepped in with this business. And he come to me, he told me, it will blow your mind what people really think about you. How much they love you, how much they appreciate you, how much they respect you. You know what? That's not me. Because the person I was before, they sure didn't love me and respect me. Because it was all about me. But it's the changes that the Word of God, basing my life on the Word of God. And I'm not perfect. I've got a whole family to sit there and tell you, I'm not perfect by no means. God's still working on me, okay? But doing the things that I've done, it's made a difference and people are seeing the fruit of it. And that's what God's talking about here, church. The reason we can withstand life storms is because we build our life on the Word, which produces the fruit. I want to do an example. Don, you may have to grab your camera. Go back to Galatians 5 right quick. I want to say this one more time before we do this. I've done this example before, but I just really feel like it'll nail it. Nail it home this morning, then we'll close here in just a moment. But he said, the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't say the fruits. Okay? He said, the fruit. This is what the Holy Spirit is going to produce in us. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, he's not talking about our kind of love. He's talking about that unconditional God kind of love. Amen. Our love is selfish. I love you as long as you're doing everything I want you to do. But boy, when you cross me, look out. My little granddaughter used to tell me when she sat with me and Pastor Joy and we wouldn't give her way, you're not my best friend no more. That's the way we are a lot of times. Amen? But he says, love and joy. And there again, the joy he's talking about, church, is not being happy because everything's going good. He's talking about something deep down on the inside of you that only the Spirit of God can give you, that no matter how much hell's breaking loose out here, you still know God's in control. You can still sing praises to God. You can still give thanks to God regardless of what's happening outside. Peace. He said, I'll give you peace that passes all understanding. In other words, it won't make no sense. People look at you and know what you're going through and think, how in the world are you doing that? Because of the peace of God. Long-suffering. I'm going to get me a T-shirt and put long-suffering with an arrow pointing this way, and when Joy walks along beside me, they'll know. Long-suffering. I'm glad you came in here this morning. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is what God wants to produce in us, church. Amen? Now, I want to do this illustration. Like I said, I've done it before. Come here, Laura. I forgot all about that too, baby. I'm sorry. We got to pray for her back, church. She's going to be the average Christian, okay? What I'm talking about, a Christian, okay? All right. Charlene, come here, babe. Yeah. I want you to hold that and just stand right here somewhere. That'll be fine. Come here, Joy. She's going to be love. She's going to be joy. Come here, James. You get to be peace.
Let me stand next to Joy.
Now, come here. I want y'all to make a circle around her, okay? You stand right here, baby. Y'all just make a circle around her. We're gonna make a complete circle around her. Come here, Sister Rosie. She's going to be long-suffering. Come here, Sister Rosie. I'm going to use you too. She's going to be gentleness.
Oh, amen.
Let's see. Come here, Seth. He's going to be goodness.
Okay, there we go.
Y'all make a circle all the way around her, okay? All right. Come here, Brother Gary. He's going to be faith. All right, let's see. Linda, you come help us out?
Yes.
Slide right by you here just a second. She's going to be meekness. Okay, y'all make a circle all the way around her. Now, hold hands and hold your paper up also. Stephen, come here. You thought I was going to leave you out, didn't you? Stephen's going to be self-control. Get in this circle here. Okay, y'all join hands. Hold on to your paper, but join hands. Laura, you're going to be in the middle. All right. Now, Laura's walking in the Spirit. When she's walking in the Spirit, this is what surrounds her. This is what controls her. All right? When the devil comes and tries to come against her, what happens? He says, well, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to tempt her with this and this and this and this. No, self-control takes over. Well, this person over here, they said something bad about her the other day on the job. She could really get offended, but she's not going to give in to her emotions because she's got the fruit of the Spirit, love. Amen. Well, she's really been praying for Stephen for a long, long time. And the devil's telling her, you might as well give up. He ain't going to change. But she's got long suffering. Do you see what I'm saying? The storms are going to come. The temptation is going to come. The devil's going to bring all these things, church, against her. But as long as she's allowing the Spirit of God to control her, for one thing, the devil has no place. There's nowhere to get in. There's no area. There's no open door to get in to destroy her life. Okay? No matter where he goes, he can't. There's no open doors. Well, you know, you don't have a whole lot of money in your bank account, and there's no telling what's going to happen with the kids and the sickness and all these things. Just another storm, but it's not going to destroy her. Why? She's got faith. God kind of faith.
Amen.
Amen? Do y'all hear what I'm saying this morning?
Yeah. Amen.
No matter where the devil goes, what's trying to do, if we're allowing the Word of God to work in our lives, it's going to produce this kind of fruit. If it produces this kind of fruit, okay, here we go. Anger. Boy, this person just really, really, really did her wrong. Boy, they talked about her. She was not guilty of it. She never even thought about doing that. She never said that. But the devil's trying to create a storm of resentment and unforgiveness. But what's she going to do? She's not going to give in to it. Why? Because she's got self-control. Amen. Boy, if there's anything else Christian needs is self-control. Amen?
Amen.
Now, on the reverse side of that, if she had built her life on the sand, on the works of the flesh, and any of these storms or any of these temptations come against her, what would happen? It would destroy her life. How many of us have allowed unforgiveness and bitterness and hurt feelings and discouragement and fear and doubt to come in and destroy our life? Because the door is open and the devil says, come in, man. Amen, it does. Do y'all hear what I'm saying this morning? All right, thank you guys. God bless y'all. Thank y'all. Thank you so much. Thank you, baby. Give them a hand. Come on. Thank you, sir. Sometimes hearing is one thing, but seeing is a total different thing. You may never hear a word I said today, but you'll remember this little illustration, little example. Amen? I've got one more story. I want to read this to you, and I'm going to close on that. And y'all probably heard this before. It's called Saving Your Fork. A young woman diagnosed with a terminal illness was given 3 months to live. So as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house and discuss certain aspects of her final wishes. She told him what song she wanted sung at the service, what scripture she would like read, and what outfit she wanted to be buried in. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the young woman suddenly remembered something very important to her. "There's one more thing," she said. "What's that?" asked her pastor. "This is very important," the young woman continued. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." Pastor stood looking at the young woman and not knowing quite what to say. "That surprised you, doesn't it?" the young woman asked. "Well, to be honest, I'm puzzled by the request," the pastor said. The young woman explained, "My grandmother once told me this story, and from that time on, I've always tried to pass it along. It's a message to those I love and those who are in need of encouragement. My grandmother told me that in all her years of attending socials and dinners, she remembered that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say to her, 'Keep your fork.' It was her favorite part because she knew that something better was coming, like maybe velvety chocolate cake or a deep dish apple pie, something wonderful with substance. So I just want people to see me there with a fork in my hand, and I want them to wonder, 'What's with the fork?' And then I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork, the best is yet to come.'" The pastor's eyes welled up with tears of joy as he hugged the young woman goodbye. He knew this would be one of the last times he would see her before her death, but he also knew that the young woman had a better grasp of heaven than he did. She had a better grasp of what heaven would be like than many people twice her age, with twice as much experience and knowledge. She knew that something better was coming. "For though from out of our bourne of time and place, the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I've crossed the bar." Church, keep your fork. There's something better coming. Amen. Give God some praise and glory in the house this morning. And I hope this morning I've kind of cleared up something about what we started last week. Yes, God wants you to do for Him, but He wants to do in you so that you're prepared to do for Him, okay? So we need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. And that's why we make that confession every Sunday morning, because a lot of people hear it, but it never does translate. It never does become an action in their life, and therefore they're mad at God or they're mad at the devil or whatever. And it's not either one, it's our fault, because we haven't built our life the way God says build your life. Amen? Amen. All right, give God praise and glory one more time. Y'all stand, please. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning again as we come before the throne of grace. And Lord, again, if there's anyone in here under the sound of my voice that does not know for sure where they're going to spend eternity, I ask the Holy Spirit to touch that heart this morning. Give them the boldness to step out and to come down, Lord, that we can leave them a prayer from their hearts. And Father God, that you'll write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when they leave here, they can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what happens today or tomorrow or next month, they're going to spend eternity with you. I ask you to do what only you can do. Touch the hearts this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.